What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox. As always, I am joined by Dan Holloway. We are recording on a Wednesday, so we're watching the Braves day game live as we chat about what's been going on with the Braves lately. I just sent you the document. Sorry, I forgot to do that beforehand. But yeah, Braves down 1-0 right now. Whatever. It's been a good first two games, so I'm not too concerned about it. They won the series.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I kind of feel like the fifth starter spot is locked up, or the fourth starter. I guess it's Reynaldo Lopez.
Yeah.
He's given up one run in 18 innings.
Yeah, so obviously we can. That was the last thing I had on the rundown other than gambling, but we could talk about him first because that was definitely something that has stood out quite a bit. He's on my fantasy team as well, which has been – actually, no, he's not even. I picked him up for two spot starts because – why would he be on anybody's fantasy fucking team?
Yeah.
And he's been great both times. So, Reynaldo Lopez, yeah, out of the four hole for the Braves rotation, been a pleasant surprise for now. Kind of a weird career, been both a starter and a reliever up to this point, mostly for the White Sox. He's 2-0 through three games. One of the more important things I feel like, especially with the way this rotation's going injury wise, is six innings every start. So getting a quality start in there. 0.5 ERA, 0.94 whip, striking out 26.5% of batters faced.
Yeah. I mean, 27 to 29 is pretty elite.
Yeah.
So he's definitely looking great.
His K per nine is 9 this year. It was 11 last year as a reliever. And you wonder, and that he had never done that before as a reliever or a starter. And so my question to you was, I wonder if he found something and then the Braves saw that.
Well, they definitely went after him intentionally, right?
Because
during the offseason when they signed him, there was, despite the fact that he's had up and down years as a starter, and then most of his career has been bullpen stuff. They brought him in with the intent of making him the fifth starter.
That's
my understanding. And that's, they wanted, you know, to make the rotation a little bit more resilient. He's a pretty high velo guy, spins the ball well, locates pretty well. His whip over the last couple of years has been pretty good. so the thing that's been surprised, I expected him to have success innings 1 through 4. The surprise to me is how deep into games he's been going. Pretty much every game he's pitched in so far.
He's averaging 6 a game, which is huge. Like I said, with Strider out, and we can talk about, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit more in the rotation a little bit. But, you know, our bullpen's deep. It's a good bullpen, but you don't want to be, you know, blasting the arms in April, right?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. And the bullpen is pretty good. I think some guy, Matzik's still kind of finding his location a little bit, but looks okay. Bummer, despite having a rough first series of the year, people hated him, but he's looked all right.
He's gotten better. They keep trotting him out there in relatively high leverage situations.
Yeah, he gave up 2 runs last night, but before that he had 4 consecutive appearances with no runs allowed. So,
and he gave up those 2 runs. We were up 6-0 in the 9th.
Yeah,
right. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Iglesias hasn't really gotten that much work yet, I don't think.
No, we've been, the most of the games we've won have been like not save situations at all.
Yeah, he's pitched in 6 games so far, which I guess that is kind of, I mean, what do we play? We're 11-5, so 6 out of 16.
1-3.
Usually, like, if 1-3 over the course of the season,
be about 50 saves.
Would be 54 appearances.
54 appearances, yeah, okay.
Which is not very much.
No.
I mean, you expect 60 to 70 appearances usually out of your core relievers.
But, like, 54 saves would be a huge season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got 4 right now. He's on pace for, let's see, 42, 43.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Great,
not a bad
season.
Yeah. So the bullpen looks good. I'm very curious about his xFIP is 397.
So that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about. So it's, and that's interesting to me. What stood out to me, right? So he has, he's having his second best strikeout year ever. Mm-hmm. Last year being the best.
Yeah.
The best by a wide margin. If, because of that, you would expect the xFIP, the expected fielding independent pitching. So essentially, the xFIP is what his ERA should be.
Mm-hmm.
The computer thinks his ERA should be 3.97. That's pretty high for a guy striking out that many people.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I haven't, I'll be honest, like, I have watched two of the three games he has pitched. I have not, but it's one of those games where I'm not necessarily, like, locked in on Ronaldo Lopez the way I am, like, Strider or Freed or something like that, or Sale. So I'm wondering, like, what, he seems like he's been relatively efficient. It's not like he's getting out of trouble. So I'm wondering why things don't like him as much.
I mean, his whip is low too. So it's not that. It's not that he's loading up the bases and getting out of it. Maybe it's just that the defense has been playing very well behind him. That'll affect it as well. Cause I think part of that algorithm is, the probability that a catch will be made in the outfield, mm-hmm. for example, or a throw is made in the infield. So maybe it's that. I mean, the defense has been playing exceptionally well, which is no surprise. The defense is pretty much good at every position. So.
Which we'll get into that as well, because there's actually something that even
That's gone.
Good Lord. Marcelo Ozuna just hit a dong. Another thing we'll be talking about today.
He's on pace for like 250 RBI now.
Yep, that'll put him at about 250. He's got 23, which leads the majors by a pretty decent margin.
23 RBI in 16 games is pretty good. This will be 17, but
that would catch an eye at any point in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's got X amount of RBI over the last 16 games. Like, it's fucking crazy.
It's wild.
He just murdered that baseball. But before we get to Ozuna, because we are going to talk about him today. Yeah, I just... Lopez has been a pleasant surprise, but I'm still kind of just like, how long is this going to last? Is this just like a nice early season thing? I mean, Bryce Elder was a great surprise for the entire first half of last year.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how his arm holds up, because it's been 6 years since he started games in a meaningful way,
right?
Not outside of just spot starts and stuff, and.
The White Sox gave up on him as a starter.
Since 2020, a lot of those starts you'll see on his list, since 2020 has become increasingly more popular to have bullpen games.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how many of those starts were like two or three innings.
Right.
Because he had eight starts in 2020 and only 26 innings in eight starts.
Right.
So I feel like a lot of those are probably bullpen games.
Yeah. Now, maybe he got a longer leash than a lot of bullpen. You know, a lot of bullpen games be one, two innings. Maybe he was going three.
Yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, yeah.
Three. 8 times 3 is 30, is 24. So, yeah, I mean, an average of just over three innings.
Okay.
So it's probably mostly bullpen games. Yeah, maybe so he
was a long reliever that they trotted out for.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see how his arm holds up over the course of the season. I haven't looked. Let's see. I guess we can look in his splits from the last year that he started a lot. Was it 2019?
19 or 18. He never had great numbers as a starter.
2019. So where's the first half, second half stuff?
It's under splits. But the White Sox, I can't remember. I know they made the playoffs in 2020. I really can't remember the quality of those teams in 18 or 19. He did have a good, decent season in 2018, though. Yeah.
Arcia is starting to heat up too, by the way. He just hit a double.
Yeah. He is someone else we're going to talk about today as well. Everybody's checking in, right, when they're supposed to.
Yeah. Let's see. In 2018, his ERA in April was 1.78, 5.61 in May, 3.60 in July, or in June, 7.39 in July. August was 4.28. And then September, with 33 innings in September, was 109. So he didn't run out of gas towards the end of that season. He was inconsistent throughout the season, but that might be something that our guys are able to fix.
Yeah.
We have a pretty good coaching staff. Well, so,
you know, going back to it, I wonder what three teams he played for in last year, because it doesn't list it on Fangraphs. It's kind of annoying, or maybe I can click on it. But I kind of wonder if something got fixed. So he was on the White Sox, Angels, and Guardians last year. I kind of wonder if something got fixed or changed, because, I mean, the K rate skyrocketed.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously, I don't think it's much of a secret that the Braves are big on strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they signed Strider immediately as soon as they realized he could pitch. Unfortunately, he's out for the year. But Elder, I think, stuck around despite his mm-hmm. style of pitching, but they like Shaver for that reason. They obviously grabbed Chris Sale because he's a strikeout pitcher. Yeah. I mean, they want strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, it takes some of the guesswork out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Those are easy. If you're in a three true outcomes system, then it definitely makes sense to have high strikeout people. But they did call up, I think, so Wasker and Noah made Elder start in AAA.
Okay.
On Monday.
Okay.
Which probably means that when that spot in the rotation comes up, Elder's going to come up and make that start. That's what it looks like right now.
Well, we can get into that then, because one of the things, unfortunately, the Braves are experiencing early is injury problems. We're going to talk about the offensive injuries in a second. But obviously, Strider out for the mm-hmm. year. His rotation spot has come up twice so far. And interestingly, the two guys they've had start are probably not the two any of us would have guessed.
No, not necessarily.
Alan Winans and Darius Vines. Vines pitched against the Astros last night, two nights ago.
Yeah, two nights ago, yeah.
Okay.
Vines looks good, Winans doesn't, which is how I would have called those two starts, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you recall, before last season started, or I'm sorry, middle of last season, I thought Vines would be one of the guys they would call up. He's low to mid-90s, spins the ball pretty well, but he has got a lot of touch. He's 25, he's a little older than some of the younger dudes, obviously. He handles himself on the mound really well. I think he's going to be a pretty good four or five starter at some point. Maybe not for the Braves. They may trade him away at some point
yeah.
because of the depth that they have there. But he's going to be a good back end of the rotation guy for somebody for probably a good 10-year clip. He's got a lot of talent. He's not Spencer Strider, though. The good thing about him is that there's a new – and we'll see if it's a good thing or not, but there's a new surgery that is, I guess, replacing Tommy John for a lot of people.
You talking about the brace?
Yeah. So
they got, I guess?
I can't remember the name for it, but the ulnar brace or something like that is
yeah.
what they're calling it. It sounds like they're repairing and then immobilizing the UCL so it doesn't move around on the elbow as much.
Okay.
When you're trying to throw the ball hard or spin the ball a lot, which might be the thing that saves baseball moving forward, to be honest. And in a very similar way that Tommy John did
right.
back in the day, because a lot of dudes like John Smoltz had Tommy John. And if he hadn't, probably not a Hall of Famer, right?
No, and like, his career is over.
Yeah.
I mean, Koufax, didn't Koufax need Tommy John, but it wasn't invented
it
yet?
It wasn't a thing yet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Until Tommy John. But yeah, it's this might be the thing. And it's I believe it's James Andrews' protege up in Arlington.
Okay.
He's doing the surgeries, Kleister or something.
Yeah, yeah, he did
like
go
that.
I've heard the doctor, but Strider did go to Arlington
yeah.
for it, yeah.
So we'll see how that works out. Hopefully, and not just for Strider's sake or the Braves' sake, but for all of baseball, because there's going to be more UCL injuries
yeah.
with less grip on the baseball and then trying to spin it more and throw it as hard as you can every pitch. There's just going to be more injuries. That's
yeah.
how it works. But if you can, and we've gotten kind of used to sometime early in a guy's career, he has to go get Tommy John if he's a hard thrower. If it's this one, and it allegedly this brace prevents further injury in
okay.
the future. I don't know who's gotten it yet and who hasn't and how it's worked out over time, but that's the word on the street anyway. So we'll see about that. but, you know, with the depth of pitching we have, Strider is the least of our concerns. We need to, like, Guillerme filling in for Ozzie Albies is a much bigger drop in talent than Spencer Strider to anybody
in our
rotation AAA.
Yeah.
AAA, right? Wasker and Noah would be good even. So,
well, so before we get into the Albies stuff, I did want to ask, who do you think you're going to see long-term? Because obviously the guesses for who would have been up first would have been Bryce Elder, A.J. Smith-Shawver. I mean, Elder was a literal all-star last
Waldrop
year.
And Smith-Shawver are both in AA because there's not enough room on AAA for all the fucking pitching we have.
Yeah.
Which is not the worst thing in the world. They just want these guys getting reps on a regular basis.
Elder, by the way, great numbers at Gwinnett.
Yeah.
He's been
yeah.
excellent at Gwinnett.
He's always good the first half of the season. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, do you expect him to fully take the rotation spot? Do you think they were just kind of like getting him a couple more starts in AAA kind of like before bringing him up full time or potentially full time?
Probably, yeah. I think the reasoning I heard from the AJC was it's easier to drop Lopez back into the bullpen rather than spin him up to become a starter after being a reliever at the beginning of the season than it is to have those guys start at AAA and call him up if necessary.
Okay. Right?
Which makes sense. Waldrop is getting banged around a lot in AA right now, but I assume that he's just working on pitches and shit. This is spring training for him, right? Like, he didn't pitch much in spring training. I assume he's just doing spring training shit down there.
I know he's a big name and he's a great prospect, but I didn't really... And obviously injuries change things, and look, like, it's such a fickle thing with the rotation because, you know, Fried is having his first two starts were rough. Hopefully he's settling down after a homer in the first. Nice little out there. But, you know, Ronaldo Lopez does not have a history of success.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sale does not have a recent history of being healthy. And then Strider's out for the year. Morton... He's a workhorse. He'll be fine. Fried should be fine.
Yeah.
So, but really, that's two spots in the rotation that you can say, okay, these guys should be fine. And then there's three where you're that are basically question marks at this point.
They are to some degree, and you're trying to replace. Elder may step in soon and do what he did last year, and maybe better in the second half. That part I'm not too concerned about. What I am concerned about is the 190 innings that Strider pitch last year and how those are going to get covered.
Yeah.
Because so far this year, Smith, Shaver, and Waldrop in AA are getting beaten up pretty good. But that I think that happens a lot, actually. You see, what's his name? Verlander did a rehab assignment in AA, I think last week maybe, and he just got fucking shelled.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, you go out when you're doing a rehab assignment or if you're treating these games like like spring training, usually you're just trying, you're like, I'm going to throw 80 pitches, 85 pitches or whatever, X amount are going to be this, X amount are going to be this. It's almost like when you're playing MLB The Show and it takes you into that game mode where it's a situational thing.
Right.
Like, all right, I'm going to pretend there's runners on right now and I'm trying to get this guy to pop the ball up.
Yeah.
That's just my only goal for this at bat. The stats don't matter. I don't think anybody gives a fuck what their stats are in double A.
Not when you're that high of a prospect, I think. And I mean, like, Smith Shaver in particular, like, he's going to come up at some point, right? Almost certainly. So, I think he is more about polish. Waldrop, I think, is still more in prospect mode. So I'm not, maybe he's trying to pitch games.
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to find a game log to see how the individual games have gone here. But it's hard to find for minor leagues. Here we go. For Smith Shaver. So his last start was, where the fuck is it? He's only going like 0.2 innings, 2 innings and stuff. I think maybe they're just like stretching him out right now.
Yeah.
To be honest, because he's not getting deep into games or anything like that. They're probably just trying to keep his arm fucking limber for when he has to come up, I would imagine. Cuz he had relatively good success, a nice little double play there.
Yeah.
He had pretty good success in Atlanta last year. Until I think he had one bad game that kind of drove his ERA up into the mid fours, but other than that, most of his games, 3 runs or less.
Mm-hmm.
They're a new quality start, which is 5 and not 6 innings, which is whatever. I don't know if I would consider that a quality start, but I'm not worried about him at all. Like, he's just raw right now to some degree, which is interesting because he's younger. Waldrop is probably more polished at this point in his career because he had those years in college. But he's not as good of a pitcher, I don't think. Maybe he will be at some point. So let's see. Waldrop's first game, he got dinged up pretty good. The second game was just kind of ordinary. And it seems that he's going short as well, like 2 innings, 4 innings. They're just trying to stretch him out. There's no purpose in putting too many innings on those guys in the minor leagues.
No, and Waldrop, I think, is a we have enough depth that I think we could take our time with with Waldrop in particular.
I mean, he's only 22. Right. But Smith-Shawver is only 20 and a half or 21. Maybe. Right. Maybe he's 21 by now. yeah, but I think the pitching stuff, I think, is going to handle itself. I'm not concerned about that at all.
So let's get into the holes that are in this roster now, particularly the biggest one. Ozzie Albies broke his toe, hit by a ball, right? It was hit by a pitch, not a foul ball, correct?
Because I think it was a curveball, too.
Yeah, yeah, because it dropped on his toe.
It's just like a freak thing. Usually guys have a fucking... Well, on the back foot, I don't think you do, actually. I don't think you have a...
Yeah, like extra protection.
A pad or whatever the fuck on it, but... Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, it's a freak injury. He's on the 10-day IL.
I've read 2 weeks minimum is what he'll be out.
He'll probably have to do another stint on the 10-day, I would guess.
Yeah.
But there's no need to really make a move or anything. Guillerme is going to play really good defense.
Which, you know.
Yeah.
If you got to replay, as long as he's doing something well. We all preseason, all in our previews or everything, the one thing we constantly filleted on this Braves team was depth, right? This is the importance of depth in the regular. This is how you win in the regular season.
Yeah, for sure.
You can plug holes. You can keep... It's like a good bomber plane in World War II, right? It can land missing... It can get back to base missing 60, 40% of its whatever mass. That's essentially a Major League Baseball team, right? As long as you can land the plane with most of it still there, you're good to go.
162 is a lot of games.
Yeah, it's a shit ton. Now, that said, obviously, Sean Murphy is also out, but we don't really have much drop-off there because Darnold should be a starting catcher.
Yeah, he should be. Trump is not a good hitter.
No.
He's a legit sub Mendoza hitter.
Yeah, but he's a backup.
Yeah,
he's a backup catcher in particular, which is what you'd basically what you'd expect out of your backup catcher. The only thing I ever hated about watching Greg Maddux starts was Eddie Perez hitting.
Yeah, it was rough. even seeing his face now on the bench still pisses me off.
It really does.
So many runners left on base. But yeah, despite all the injuries and shit, like I think. For a guy who's up and down all the time like that, take your time with Murphy as well. There's no need to rush him back.
But his injury, unlike Albie, so a broken toe, I feel like you just immobilize, let it heal, it's pretty good to go. The oblique is kind of the type of thing that can hang around for a while.
Yeah, if you don't let it fully heal. So if he doesn't come back until fucking June or whatever,
no rush.
I don't give a shit about that.
But Ozzie creates a hole in the lineup the way Strider creates a hole in the rotation.
He does, yeah.
There is no replacement for Ozzie Albies currently. So my question is, we've talked about how the rotation is, there's more question marks than we'd like. If everything works out, it's still going to be a great rotation, but there are more question marks now. Albies, he'll probably be back okay, but let's say maybe someone else gets a nagging injury because it's baseball and that's what happens. Where do you feel more compelled to fill a hole if this is roughly a similar situation in July?
What do you mean?
With a move, with a trade, with anything like that.
I don't know if they want to trade any kind of prospects away for a fourth catcher, right?
For a catcher, no. I think we could move catcher out of it. Let's say Ozzie's back, but I don't know. Kelnick and Duvall, something like that, they get hurt. Harris has a nagging injury, or even Arcia gets a nagging injury or something. And then obviously Strider is still gone, and there's still the other question marks in the rotation. Where do you feel more compelled in terms of success for the playoffs to plug a hole? Do you make a strength even stronger, or do you shore up the rotation? So you can make the strength stronger in the lineup, which is, you know, getting another bat in there, or do you put some in the and then roll with a rotation that's basically two guys and who knows, which is how we won a World Series, by the way.
Yeah.
Or do you try to go for, you know, just make the rotation a little more bulletproof?
I mean, at this point, we expect Strider will be back probably at 100% by the beginning of the season next year, because the time on this particular surgery is 8 to 10 months, right?
Okay.
It's totally different than Tommy John, which is 12 to 18. I guess it depends on how they feel about their chances of re-signing Max Fried, mm-hmm. right? Because in my mind, if you can flip Shaver and Waldrop, no matter how good they might be, even as a package, no matter how good they might be, for somebody who is actually established in the major leagues, and you can make that trade and do what you did with Olson and immediately sign him to a long-term deal, like 7-plus-year deal for that pitcher, I would make that. You have the economics of baseball are such that you should definitely make that move, mm-hmm. right? Because that way you have Strider and another top line pitcher signed up long term, right. and then you have all of these other guys still that might be potential back end starters or even
farms a little bare. I think we're ranked 28th in farm systems, so this,
I wouldn't trust any of those rankings.
Yeah,
like our farm system is all in the major leagues right now. So
right. Well, I know. I'm just saying that in terms of prospects, we are shorter on them than other organizations.
Mm. Yeah, I guess it depends also on how the other teams do, who becomes available. Like, is that kid from Oakland?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I think there might be availability there.
Yeah, but he is. What's his name? Is it Blackburn? Paul Blackburn. This dude is a fucking animal. He throws gas. He's like. Let's see, what has he done? 3 games, he's pitched 19 innings, and he's allowed 0 runs.
Sweet.
Right now, he's only got 11 Ks in 19 innings, but only walked 3 people in 3 games. I can't imagine he's going to be in Oakland very much longer, to be honest, especially not towards the end of the season.
And, right.
He's 30, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other guy for them? Is it Stripling?
Yeah, Ross Stripling, another good pitcher for them, certainly.
He's 0-4 this year. No, it's a young guy. It's a super young dude that's like throws gas.
Okay.
I can't remember his fucking name now. anyways, there's a couple of pitchers on shitty teams that might become available. That you never know though what's going to happen throughout the season. Like who's going to become sellers and who
feels compelled to sell. And also, I mean, there's two teams who could be sellers who just might not sell to us, which would be the Mets and Marlins.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Marlins, why not try to unload Lizardo or something like that? But
he's out for the season with Tommy John.
Oh, that's right. Lizardo or?
Yeah, Lizardo's out for the year now.
He just pitched.
Or maybe it's the other one?
What's his name?
Alcantara's out for sure.
Alcantara,
but it's somebody else, one of their other guys, Yuri Perez.
Okay.
He's out for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out.
I think Lizardo just pitched a decent game.
Lizardo's good. Yuri Perez is getting Tommy John right now.
Okay.
He's 21. He throws gas, too. But, yeah, there's opportunities out there. I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, for me, I kind of feel more compelled to just say fuck it and make your strength as strong as possible. Because, I mean, we talk about all the time, like, how it is brutal to face a team where you don't get at-bats off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so if you... Right now, the Braves, despite all these injuries and a slow start by Max Fried especially, they're on pace for 111 wins right mm-hmm. now, right? So not to panic about there. The thing that's fucked us over in the playoffs year after year is not getting quick offense early in series, right? I would definitely lean on offense.
I agree.
If I was making any move, it would be for maybe some combination of one of the young pitchers and Duvall or Kelnick for a real left fielder.
Yeah.
Not that Kelnick's not having a good start to the season, but somebody that's there every day.
Yeah.
Like this isn't a poverty franchise. We shouldn't be platooning an outfielder,
to be honest.
I think there's probably people out there that we could get. And look, Kelnick may turn out to be
I love him so good. Far.
He hasn't hit with any power so far, and his situational hitting is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be a retard.
he's hitting 400.
He's hitting 368 now. Yeah, he's looking pretty good. But I don't know if you watched the game last night.
I've fucking blacked out here because I have YouTube TV and MLB TV is blacked out. So I don't have Bally or whatever on.
Yeah, he was. He's batting against. God, what's that dick's name? With a really good changeup, Dubin from. From Houston, throws him. There's runners on second, third with one out, which is an automatic RBI. Mm-hmm. It has to be. If you're a professional hitter, that's got to be an automatic RBI.
Yeah.
He swings and misses at three consecutive low changeups in the same exact spot.
So shitty can't pop up.
Like, all you got to do is just fucking guide that ball even through the up the middle of the infield and make the shortstop make a play where he can't throw a homeboy out at home.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking – that's a run.
Yeah.
You can't give up runs like that. In the postseason, that shit matters. So
– yeah, matters a ton.
If we have the opportunity to, you know – package him for some, I don't know, there's this infinite players out there. You just never know who's actually going to be available, but I don't know. That kind of bothered me, despite the success he's having right now, putting him in a situation like that. You know who's been a really good situational hitter is Marcell Ozuna lately.
Yeah.
He hasn't been giving up, like, something he's done in the past is give up outs in important situations because he's trying to do this or that. Not yet this year. He's also been running the bases well, which is insane to me.
He doesn't look great doing it, but he's...
No.
Before we get into Marcell, let's read the ad real quick. MyBookie.com is where we make our gambling picks. We're going to have some of those for you at the end of the show. But go to MyBookie.com. You can double your first deposit up to $1,000 with the promo code Drinkin' Bros. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you a free $1,000. Put in $500, they'll give you a free $500. Our casino show is debuting this Friday. And Delco Dan just put his dick on the table.
Oh, shit.
Several times.
Are we going to get banned for that, or what's...
Well, figuratively, his penis on the table.
I see.
Check that out. It's actually really funny, and it's cool. So it's a live casino on MyBookie. If you're not a baseball guy or you like card games, it is a live casino with a real human dealer, a live, like, Zoom feed or whatever. So you're not being jobbed by some just, like, computer program that is definitely rigged against you. Like, this is a real human casino dealer dealing to you from a casino in some country that I didn't ask about. And it's really fun. It's really awesome. You play $25, $50 hands, something like that. You bet higher than that, too, by the way. But, yeah, check it out, mybookie.com. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 with the promo code Drinkin' Bros. And maybe while you're there, sprinkle an MVP future on Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely given himself a shot. My bookie might actually have this. Let's see what it is.
He has so as of right now, we're recording with that first inning home run. He leads the majors in homers with 8, and he leads the majors, I believe, in RBIs with 24 or 23, something like that. Having an absolutely fucking insane year, like you said, he's on pace for like 250 RBI or something crazy like
and 75 home runs, I think.
Yeah,
which, you know, obviously, that's not going to happen. He also hasn't been – his strikeout rate is really low for him right now. He struck out 12 times in 66 at-bats. That's not bad for a guy that's hitting a home run every other game, basically.
And, look, we've seen this before to an extent. If you remember Justin Upton's insane April in, like, 2013 or something – where he had, I think he had like 13 home runs in April. Yeah. And I was like, dude, this guy's going to win the fucking MVP. Like, this is fucking insane. And then I think he hit another 13 for the whole rest of the year. Right? So
it
the,
happens.
The year looked respectable, like 26 home runs, probably like 90-something RBIs. But he did a lot of front-loading on those numbers and then was just kind of useless for the rest of the year. I hope that's not Marcell's case. I don't think it is. But right now, I was looking at the numbers today. I like to check early in the season who's gotten to one full win above replacement already. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts is at 1.9.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcell's definitely not the favorite to win the MVP because Mookie's having a fucking insane year. But there are only 10 players in Major League Baseball right now, hitters, that have accrued one full win above replacement. Two of them are on the Braves. One is the aforementioned Ozuna, who, like I said, the numbers already has put up a huge offensive stats, and he's not in the field to rip all that win above replacement away from him with defensive war going in the negative. Damn, another double play. Look at this. The other one, can you guess who the other one is? Did you read it already?
No. No, I haven't read it yet, but I would guess either Olson or Arcia, probably.
Arcia is at one win above replacement.
Where's Olson?
He's in the top 25, I think, but I don't. He's outside the top 10.
He just walks so much that he gets. But he his. Let's see. Where is Olson?
Hello. He is Olson? A little further out, I guess.
He's 0.5 right now.
Not bad. So yeah, Olsen's not in the top 25 yet, but he's in the top. Yeah, he's 44. Either way, though, Arcia having a great offensive year. Defense. His defense has been insane. Do you remember I texted you the other day? I was like, man, Arcia's making some plays.
We talked about it last year, but people forget that this motherfucker was one of he was a top 50 MLB prospect when he was with the Brewers.
Yeah.
As a shortstop, which is like, if you're a top 50 prospect at shortstop or center field or catcher, that means something.
Yeah.
If you're a pitcher, you're a pitcher. If you're a catcher, there's not a lot of talent there, you're a catcher. But if you're at a premium position and a top 50 prospect, that means something. And
especially when you're a shortstop who they keep at shortstop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he had the bad fortune of having Willy Adames come right behind him, so they ran out of patience a little earlier than they should have. That's all that happened there. But yeah, he's a fucking... Not only is he a great player, but he's on a fucking 3-year, $50 million contract.
Oh, it's or some insane. Shit
like that.
I think it's like a 3-year, like $6 million contract.
Oh, my God.
It's very low.
Well, they better fucking pay him at some point, I would hope.
So I was looking at the numbers to dive in on his defense because I said, he was passing the eye test. And, and last year, he was kind of like whatever. Not as slick looking as Dansby, but few people are. Mm-hmm. And Dansby is an excellent defender, of course. Arcia leads the league in defensive war. Leads the major leagues in defensive war. He's second in outs above average. And where he's getting most of his love from the advanced stats is in range.
His range is good. So the problem, he had kind of a bad rep as a defensive liability for a while, but it was mostly throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Having 6'5", Matt Olson, who's one of the best in the league at picking the ball out of the dirt, that's mitigated that issue.
Yeah.
He's also grown as a player, but that
he's, I haven't noticed any bad throws from him yet. I'm sure there's been one or two, but, or whatever, but like he was making those plays that I was texting you about. It wasn't just the range, although the range on it was excellent. He was popping up, spinning around and throwing strikes to Olson.
There was really good. No
picking out of the dirt necessary.
Yeah. And you combine that. I mean, he's hitting 368 as well.
Yeah.
Can't beat that. And where's he batting in the lineup?
Somewhere between seven and nine,
right? He'll probably be at six right now because Albies is out, I would guess.
Yes.
Harris is batting second right now. Although you could make the case, I guess if they go up against a left-handed starter, there's a good chance Arcia is going to be in the two hole, I would think.
Yeah, they like to shuffle it, right? They like to go lefty. Lefty-righty against a righty, and then against a lefty, they just try to load it up with righties as much as possible.
Yeah, he's hitting six today. Everything is going pretty well so far except for the injury. So it's nice to see him. He had a good year last year. The second most games he's played in his career, career high in home runs, career high in RBI, just a very good season for him. And this year I think is going to be more of the same, which is really nice for us because letting Dansby go was a big gamble.
A huge gamble, and Dansby's lived up to his contract.
Oh yeah,
so
he's a really good baseball player. I don't know if I would say great, but he plays top five defense at a premium position, and he gives you usually somewhere between like 3 and 5 offensive WAR. You can't. What can you say about that?
Right. Nothing to be mad at there. But yeah, Arcia. Hopefully he sticks with it. So if you remember last year, I was kind of obsessed with Arcia at the beginning of last year. He was like Elder, right? He had an excellent first half, kind of fell off in the second half. I don't know if people made adjustments or what the deal was, but he wasn't the same guy in the second half that he was in the first. Hopefully he can be more consistent throughout the year this year. Real quick, before we get out of here, I want to make some parlay picks for the weekend. Couple good series, not a humongous slate of series I like, but like maybe 4 or 5. I'm just gonna go with the Friday games. I kind of like betting first games of the series because good teams will try to make an impression and get one out of the way quick against a bad team. Cubs facing the Marlins with Imanaga, whatever, 2-0 with a 0 ERA. Love him, love that game. Coupling that with the Angels coming to the Reds. The Reds are only 9-8, but they're a good team, and Lodolo's pitching for the Reds, and Lodolo is a fucking animal. He started the year on the IL, is 1-0 with a 0 ERA, struck out 10 in his first start of the season. No problems with that. I like that. Phillies over White Sox, Astros over Nats, and then Guardians over A's. Those are the ones I like. Now, you might be tempted to go Royals or Orioles over Royals because they're the Royals and look at them, but they've been playing well so far. Mm-hmm. I'm a little sketched out by picking against the Royals right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's some pretty good games Saturday as well. Blue Jays over Padres, even though it's in San Diego. And the good thing about that, Berrios is going for the Blue Jays, and he's lighting it up this year.
Yeah.
And I think it might be a bullpen game for the Padres because they've had some issues. So that is looking very good for them. Plus, you're going to get plus money on the money line for that because it's an away game for them. Probably you'll get plus money, which jacks
up.
Whenever you add plus money lines to your parlay in baseball, it like jacks the overall odds up.
Oh,
usually
yeah.
By two, right?
Yeah, it's a
so
lot.
So if you had like 2-1 odds and you add a plus 150 or something like that, usually you're going to plus 400. You're going to 4-1 after that. Mariners at Rockies. Even though Luis Castillo has not looked good this year, the Rockies fucking suck. They're terrible. Like they're really bad. The Mariners haven't looked great either.
The Mariners have been kind of soft, but yeah, I've lost on Castillo twice this year, but I still kind of keep wanting to go back to that. Well, against the Rockies, like at some point it just should fucking happen.
Yeah. Well, the Rockies are 4-14. Castillo is going to turn it around at some point because he's a pro. I think it's probably this game. And then I will take the Orioles over the Royals in this game. Because it's Corbin Burnes and he's looked great.
That would be the one game I would feel comfortable betting for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's, let's see, there's one other one that I was going to add to that. Phillies over White Sox. It's Zach Wheeler, who's 0-3 with a 3 ERA now.
Doing him dirty.
Yeah, doing him dirty, but he's going up against former Brave Mike Soroka, who has not looked good this year. He looked good in his first start, kind of, and has kind of been bad from there.
I'm telling you right now, the Marlins and the White Sox and Rockies are, you just bet them as many days as you can.
Yeah. And I'm taking
bet against them.
And then these are all Saturday games, by the way. And then I'm taking Astros over Nationals. So those games, Astros over Nationals, Phillies over White Sox, Orioles over Royals, Mariners over Rockies, and then Blue Jays over Padres.
Cool. And we'll drop those picks in the Drinking Bros Sports Facebook group. Join that. If you haven't already, I'll probably give you, I said mine, but I'll give you probably like a tight, like small parlay that I really think is going to hit. And then I'll give you like a wider one that you can sprinkle and maybe make some money on. Hopefully that's what I usually, that's how I usually bet them. but yeah, that's all I got for today.
Yeah. Go look into Trevor Bauer's latest accuser and how she's now getting charged with a federal crime.
Oh yeah. I saw that. Good Lord.
Can this guy get a fucking job? Like the people accusing him are now getting charged criminally. Can he get a fucking job for Christ's sake? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll see you later.
See ya.